Good morning. May grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I want to welcome each one of you here this morning, whether you are a regular here or if you are visiting or a guest. A hearty welcome to each one of you. It is good to see God's house, maybe not filled, but many people here. And it is a blessing to see that you have a desire to hear God's word, to come together to worship, to praise him, to pray together, sing together, and most of all, to hear what God wants to speak to us today. My name is Jay Weeb, in case you don't know who I am. I'm from the Morden area, and again, it is a privilege to be with you this morning. I will primarily be speaking to those who profess to be a Christian this morning, those who have made that decision to follow Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And when you become a follower of Christ or a Christian, when we take on the name of Christ, God also gives us or equips us with the Holy Spirit to change our lives, to mold us into what he wants us to be. And the Holy Spirit works within the Christian to develop a character to be more, or our character to be more Christ-like. And today I'm going to be using Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23 as the theme for this morning, which is sometimes referred to as the fruit of the Spirit. But what it is, what we find described there is the character traits of what God wants us to be. And through his Spirit, he works in us to develop that Christ-like character. And as I said, in Galatians 5, we find the fruit of the Spirit, which I won't be exploring the individual aspects of the fruit that is described there. But I want to present some questions for us, those who profess Christ as Savior. And that is, what is this fruit of the Spirit? Why is this fruit important in the life of the Christian? And then how do we develop this fruit of the Spirit? And before we go to prayer and the opening songs, I just want to use for an opening scripture Psalm chapter 1. And in Psalm chapter 1, it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, but standeth in the way of sinners, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in due season, in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Would you join me in opening prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, and Lord, we thank you for this new day that you have given to us. Lord, again, we see your grace and your love and your mercy extended to us in a day that you have granted to us that we can use to honor and glorify you, especially on this Sunday, as we have come together to worship you, gathered together to hear your word, to listen to your Spirit. And Lord, this morning we just ask that you would be with us by the way of your Spirit, that you would protect us within these walls, you would protect our minds, you would open our minds to what you want to say to us this morning, that we together could be blessed and could be encouraged and strengthened in our walk with you, and as we today want to look at how we are to become more Christ-like, that you would guide us in everything we do, in our every thought we have, every word that is spoken here this morning. We pray this all in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This time we will have a couple of songs.
Take the red book and turn to number 396, I Love to Tell the Story. 396.
I love to 84, Jesus Savior, Pilot Me. 284.
So for our text this morning, as I mentioned, Galatians 5, verses 22 to 23, reads this way. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. So as we have read the description of the fruit of the Spirit, so may I ask, what exactly is this fruit? What is it? What is its overall theme? In Galatians 22, I find an interesting point there that it refers to a fruit in the singular form. It says the fruit of the Spirit. It doesn't say fruits as a multiple, it says the fruit of the Spirit, and then it describes what this fruit, the various aspects of this fruit. It doesn't say that the fruits of the Spirit, that there are multiples, or there's multiples that we can pick and choose from. But it refers to one fruit that flows from the Holy Spirit, and it manifests or reveals itself in these various different characteristics. And I believe that we shouldn't look at these various characteristics as different kinds of fruit, but rather that they are one. Kind of like an apple that we cut into sections. Each of these sections is part of that same apple. And each of these sections is as delicious as the other one. And we have a desire to consume all of it or to eat all of it in order to be satisfied. Just one section isn't enough. We want the whole. And this is one of the key differences between the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. As the gifts of the Spirit that we find in 1 Corinthians 12 are plural, or they are there's multiple, many different gifts. Many gifts of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit is one, as we go through this message this morning, kind of expound on that. Another difference is that God doesn't give you and I all the gifts that we find in 1 Corinthians 12. He gives different gifts to different individuals as God chooses. But all those that follow Christ, God, through His Spirit, gives the fruit of the Spirit. I believe that God doesn't, by design, doesn't want you to have all the gifts of the Spirit, but He wants you to have all the fruit of the Spirit. Another thing to note is that it is something that God does for you rather than what you do for yourself in this fruit of the Spirit. God's Spirit produces God's fruit. We call it the fruit of the Spirit because it is God's Spirit that produces it. We see in verses 16 to 18 in Galatians 5, verses just a little bit earlier on the chapter, it says this: "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." Here Paul is telling us that we are to live by the Spirit and to be led by the Spirit. When we live by God's Spirit and allow the Spirit to lead our lives, He will produce His fruit in you. You can't grow the fruit of the Spirit on your own because we are all captive to our inborn human nature that wants to separate us from Christ. So again, God's Spirit produces God's fruit, so you need to live by the Spirit, not by our own means or our own devices, but by the Spirit of God. Walking in the Spirit day by day and yielding to the Spirit hour by hour, even minute by minute. I have a little story about fruit. And it may be somewhat humorous, and yet I think it kind of drives home the point too. When we talk about that we need to rely on the Spirit rather than to rely on ourselves. The story about a young boy who used to escape from his second-story bedroom window when his parents were asleep or they weren't paying attention, and he was supposed to be sleeping. The boy was supposed to be sleeping. And he had this escape route that he regularly used. It was climbing out the window, and there was an old fruit tree beside his bedroom, which he would use to climb down to the ground. But one day he overheard his father speaking to his mother, and he says, "I'm going to cut down that old tree because it hasn't borne fruit for many years. Why is it there? It's been standing there and it hasn't been producing any fruit for so long. Might as well get rid of it." And the boy, hearing this, realizes that his escape route is going to be taken away. So the boy comes up with a plan, and he goes out and he purchases a few bushels of apples. And that night he commandeers his friends, and they tie these apples to that fruit tree. They tie the apples to the branches of that tree. Now the next morning, when it becomes light, the father looks out the window and he sees this tree all full of apples, and he shouts to the boy's mother, "Honey, I can't believe my eyes. That old fruit tree that hasn't borne any fruit, has been barren for many years, is covered with apples. It's a miracle. Because it's a pear tree." You know, trying to grow the fruit of the Spirit in our life without the Holy Spirit is like tying apples to an old pear tree. The fruit of the Spirit is something that God does for you rather than what you do for yourself. We need the Holy Spirit in our lives because we cannot produce this fruit on our own. It is the fruit of the Spirit, and that is, again, I keep saying, that is the fruit of God's Spirit, so therefore God needs to produce that Spirit in your life, or produce that fruit in your life. And this becomes even clearer when we contrast the fruit of the Spirit with the works of our human or sinful nature. We find this described in Galatians 5:19, which says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest." Why do we call them the works of the flesh or sinful nature? Because they are actions. The acts of the sinful nature are the things that you and I do out of our human nature. They are our works or our actions. But the fruit of the Spirit is God's work in us. He develops this fruit in you through His Spirit. Note also that the acts of the sinful nature are many. It says manifest. We'll read them a little bit later on yet. They are listed in plural as opposed to, as I've been saying, this fruit listed as a singular. We do the works of the flesh, but the fruit of the Spirit, again, is a result of what God does in us. So what exactly then is this fruit that we've been talking about? It is the character of Jesus that God gives, or that God wants to grow in you. If we look at this list, if we want to call it that, of the fruit of the Spirit, It is not really or not so much a list of things to do, but rather it is a list of character traits that God wants to develop in his child. But they are not just any character traits, they are the character traits of his son Jesus, who is part of the triune God. These traits are a part of God himself. And these traits that we as Christians are to imitate, or we sometimes refer to as following in the steps of Jesus, to become more and more like Christ. When we accept Christ, there's a change. For example, in 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, "But we all, with open face, beholding as a glass in the But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." They're also referring to the Holy Spirit making that change in our lives. The Christian life is a life of transformation, where we grow to be more and more like Jesus through God's Holy Spirit. Again, in Colossians 3, verses 9 to 10, also speaks about a change. Colossians 3, verses 9 to 10. "Seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." You see, you are a new person in Christ, and you are being renewed in the image of God. Jesus perfectly reflects God the Father, and through the Holy Spirit, we can reflect the character of Jesus also. This fruit of the Spirit is a beautiful picture or a portrait of Jesus Christ, and God wants your life to reflect that beautiful picture. Here again is the difference between the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit all have to do with service, but the fruit of the Spirit has to do with character. The gifts of the Spirit are what make us different from each other in the body of Christ. We have been given different gifts to serve each other of Christ. God wants each of us to reflect the same character as Jesus. So before we go on to the next part of our question or our topic of why is the Spirit important, and how do we develop it? We want to take a moment to go in prayer, as we have custom to go on our knees if you're physically able, and privately and in silence, go to prayer before our great God, and to bring to him whatever lies on our heart. And let's also always remember to bring him our praise and our thanks for all that he does for us in our lives. So if you're able at this time, I invite you to kneel with me in a time of prayer. May the Lord hear our prayers and be gracious unto us.
Take our blue book and turn to number 399. I'll go where you want me to go. 399, let's all stand.
Very fitting song for the theme that we're speaking about this morning. A prayer of Jesus, take me where you want me to go, to the paths you want me to go, to the places you want me to be, and I will follow. So we talked about the what is the fruit. I want to talk a little bit about the why. Why is the fruit of the Spirit important in the walk of the Christian life? Again, we want to look at a few different angles. And firstly, God, I believe God wants each one of you to walk or to grow in godly character. Secondly, it is a part of your Christian witness to those around you. And then lastly, I believe that life is just that much more pleasant when we have this fruit of the Spirit in our lives. So God wants you to grow in godly character. This is part of why God saved you. This is part of what it means to be a Christian. We read in Ephesians 4, verses 22 to 24. Here also, speaking of the change that comes about when Christ enters our lives. Ephesians 4:22 to 24, that you put off concerning the former conversation referring to a lifestyle. We could put the word lifestyle in for, we could say that you put off concerning the former lifestyle, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You become a new person in Jesus, and God wants you to grow into this new self that is created to be like him in true righteousness and holiness. Paul writes to the Philippians in chapter 1, verse 11, how that as believers are to be filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Once again, the fruit of the Spirit is the character of Jesus, which reflects the righteousness of the Godhead. And this is why the fruit of the Spirit is important in the life of the Christian. God wants you to grow in godly character. And then our witness to others. We read in Ephesians of our conversation or our lifestyle. It is a witness to others, whichever way we live our life. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Peter also addresses this in 1 Peter 2, verse 12. It says, having your conversation, we use the word again, conversation, so having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, in other words, among those that are not believers, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, that they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. As Peter is saying, that even those that are non-believers, by your walk, by your lifestyle, will bless even those who are not a Christian. When you display the fruit of the Spirit in your life, people will see Christ and will be attracted to him. Now, people can sense a difference in those who are walking in the Spirit and those who are not. They may not know what is different about the believer, but they can sense that there is something different and they are drawn to it. This is why our conversation in life, our lifestyle, is important, that we display that fruit of the Spirit to those around us. And then if we walk by the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit is evident in our lives, I believe life is just better. We want to go back to Galatians 5 again, as I mentioned earlier on in the service. We want to go through, or just briefly look at, the flip side or the opposite spectrum of what we've been talking about of the fruit of the Spirit. And in Galatians 5, verses 19 to 21, also addresses what is the result of our natural or human state if we're left, if we just kind of go by the default, if you will. This is where our human nature will run its course and will take over if left to itself. Galatians 5, 19 to 21. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. And as mentioned also before, manifest meaning many, and they are open. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do these such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, if we contrast that with the fruit of the Spirit, which follows in verses 22 to 23, so we just have this, we could say, this dirty laundry list of these ugly traits. And then we contrast that with the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Now, which would you rather have in your life? Which would you rather choose in your life? Would it be immorality, hatred, discord? I'm going to do some paraphrasing here. Jealousy, selfish ambition, dissension, envy, drunkenness? Or would you rather have a life of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? Which of these individuals do you think is happier in this life? Which of these do you think is more fulfilled? Which of these lifestyles is more fulfilling? Which would you rather be? That is why the fruit of the Spirit is important. So then how do we develop this fruit? Well, as we've been talking about, the fruit of the Spirit comes from God. And he wants to develop this character in our lives. But we also have some work to do. And we're talking about fruit this morning, and if we look at a garden or an orchard, we know that a garden and orchard doesn't just magically appear overnight and it grows and it yields a harvest. There's a lot of things that happen before that fruit or that grain or those vegetables, whichever it is, come to fruition to a full harvest. One of the things that needs to happen is that we need to weed our gardens. And we could equate this to eradicating or weeding the sin out of our life. In Colossians 3, verses 5 to 6, it tells us we are to mortify sin. Colossians 3, verses 5 to 6. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry, for such things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. It says in Colossians 3, verse 5, it says to mortify. That is a strong word. It literally means to kill. It says to put away these things, to kill these things that are in your life. The evil that is in your life. We need to put to death those things which belong to the sinful nature of the flesh. In Romans 8, verse 13, it says, "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die." So this is the result. It says, if you live according to the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Here again we see through the Spirit, not after our own abilities, but after the Spirit. It says, but if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. As we saw earlier in Galatians 5, that the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is contrary to the sinful nature of the flesh. So what then is the solution? Paul tells us we are to live by the Spirit, to draw on the power of God's Spirit, which has been given to us, which lives in you, if you've accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. Then to be led by the Spirit and to put to death those deeds which are of the body, so that the fruit of God's Spirit can grow. For God's fruit to grow, the garden needs to be weeded, kept weeded. Then a garden also needs water in order to thrive. If we have timely rains, then that's great. But if we don't, then we need to put the effort in to water. If we equate that into our spiritual life, we also need to water the garden. And we water the garden by studying and reading and studying the Word of God. We read at the onset of the service this morning in Psalm 1 that blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. The psalmist says that our delight should be in the law of God, and to meditate continually on God's word, to draw strength from God's word. And further he says, and he shall be, or the result of this, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, but whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Would you not want to be like that? Like that tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and whose leaf does not wither? We need to immerse ourselves in the Word of God in order to be a thriving tree that is like that is described here. And the word of God and His Spirit go together. In Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." And a similar verse we find in Ephesians 5:18, where it instructs us, it says, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." You're filled with the Spirit of God as you let the Word of God dwell in you richly. Scriptures tells us that we're to be filled with the Spirit continually. So one may ask, why do I need to be filled continually with the Spirit rather than just be filled once? Because our spiritual garden dries out, just like a physical garden in our backyard or our farms, wherever. It dries out. And it needs to be replenished. It needs to continually have a supply of water in order to thrive. And with our spirit, if we continually dwell on God's word and allow his word to dwell in us and direct us, that's when our spirit will thrive, by reading God's word. Then another aspect of us is we need to remain in the vine. We need to weed our gardens, we need to water our gardens. But then ultimately, we have to remain on the vine. And Jesus used this equation in John 15:4-5. And Jesus says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If the branch is not connected to the trunk, it's not going to bear any fruit. I think that is very easy to understand. It is not a difficult concept to grasp. You can go water a branch that is lying in the garden or on your lawn, and it's not going to bear fruit no matter how much you water it. Yes, you may delay it withering and drying off to some degree, but it will never bear fruit. If that branch is to bear fruit, it must remain on the trunk or the vine of the plant. In the spiritual, if you want to bear the fruit of the Spirit, then you need to abide in Christ. Jesus says, abide in me. And he says, if we abide in him, then our life will bear fruit, or will have evidence of his fruit in us. But apart from Jesus, if we separate ourselves from Jesus and we try to produce this fruit on our own, it is like that picture of the boy and his friends who were trying to make a good impression or to make it look good by tying apples to this old pear tree that was not producing any fruit. It was an illusion, but that's all it is. And that's why Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. It is only through his power and his Spirit that that fruit can be evident in our lives. Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. Colossians 2, verses 6 to 7 says the same thing in maybe a little different words. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Live in Christ. Develop a close relationship with him. Branches don't produce fruit on their own. They need to be connected to the tree. There needs to be a constant surrender in your life to Jesus if you want to bear this fruit that we've been talking about this morning. So again, how do we develop the fruit? Just a few things we need to do. We need to weed the garden. Is there weeds in my life, in your life, that we need to get rid of? You need to water the garden. Are you immersing yourselves? Am I immersing myself in God's word? And then, are you in the vine? Am I attached to the vine of Jesus Christ, walking in a close relationship with him? And if you're a Christian this morning, then you already have this Holy Spirit. God has given us the tools. He has given us the tools. But we need to accept them and we need to use them. My prayer is that you will seek to grow more and more like Jesus every day. Yield yourself to his Spirit and ask God to develop the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life. This fruit that is love joy, peace, long-suffering, or we could say patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, or kindness, temperance, which is self-control. You know, I can't think of a better way to live. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, again we come before you at the close of this service. And Lord, we just thank you for your word and we thank you for your spirit. And Lord, I just pray that as we have heard your word and your spirit this morning, that we would yield ourselves to you, that this fruit that you have promised would be evident in each of our lives, that we could be a witness to those that are around us. And wherever our walk takes us, wherever you guide our walk, that this fruit could be evident to others and that it could be a blessing to others. Lord, this morning we also pray for those that are not in our midst this morning that would have had a desire to be so, to be here. We just pray your blessing of comfort upon them in whatever situation they're in. May you bless them and keep them. And Lord, as we go from here, make us a blessing to all those whom we encounter on life's path. Again, Lord, we thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This time I want to give you another opportunity to go to God in prayer, to bring to him what's on your heart. And again, if you're physically able, I would invite you to kneel with me in a time of prayer. May the Lord hear our prayers and grant us his blessing.
Take the blue book and turn to page 469, Grace Greater Than Our Sin. 469.
Oh,
So we've come to a conclusion of our message this morning, and I want to thank you for being a part of this worship service. And my prayer is that each one of us could have drawn something out of the words that have been spoken this morning. Not the words I have spoken, but the words of God that he uses his humble servant to speak to you. And that may serve to grow a more Christ-like character in all of us. And I think in today's world, that is really, really important. It saddens me where I see many who profess to be Christians display a lifestyle that is so contrary to these attributes that we talked about today. And these attributes that we find are ones that draw people in, that attract others, that attract the non-believers. Let's not be one who repels those whom we encounter, but let's let Christ's Spirit work in us that he can attract others to himself, using you and I. I'm going to leave you with a benediction this morning. As God instructed Moses to bless his people, let's bow. May the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen. And may you go in peace with the Lord.